The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericaempowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to The Art of Transformation with your host, Mara Evenstar. Transforming our world can seem to be an overwhelming task. However, there are universal patterns of change that can be worked with personally or collectively. Join us as we explore conscious transformation. Now, here is your host, Mara Evenstar.
Hello, everyone. I am Mara Evenstar, and I welcome you to The Art of Transformation. So this week, we're exploring the changing landscape of business, a subject that's near and dear to my heart, with my guest, Barry Lipscomb. So let me tell you a little bit about Barry. He is an impact-focused operations and finance executive. He's very passionate about creating a more sustainable, aware, and responsible business culture. Recently, he did some innovative work at Reconsider, a startup consulting firm providing investment readiness and chief financial officer and chief operating officer services to social enterprises, including local investing and crowdfunding initiatives. He's also co-author of the book Focalizing Dynamic Links, a means for collectively engaging in organizations. Barry and I connected several years ago over our similar interest in conscious business, and we've developed a friendship while working together on several projects. Barry is co-founder of New MythWorks and Serious Sense, and our friendship includes play, deep inquiry, and just basically great conversation. He really is a fellow explorer. And with that, I bring you Barry. Welcome.
Thanks, Mara. It's a pleasure to be with you today.
Yeah, this is great. So my first question is kind of broad and loaded, but I know that you'll be able to wrangle it into a sentence or two. So in your understanding, what is most broken in how we run organizations today?
Yeah, you know, it seems to me that organizations aren't evolving as quickly as we are in the human consciousness, and that they aren't operating the same way that we're learning to operate as in the human consciousness. And even not in the way we've operated for quite some time, really. You know, organizations are set up in such a rigid way with hierarchy and formal rules and procedures and really attempt to predict the future in many ways, and then mm-hmm. set up systems and processes to control that predicted outcome. And that's just so contrary to the way that we operate as individuals and in our personal lives. We tend to, more often than not, sense our way through life and then respond to what happens. And I think that conflict of the way we operate as individuals and as individual consciousness, when we then step into the organizational context and have this predict and control laid over top of our kind of innate and natural desire to be more of sensors and responders in life, that conflict just really inhibits what an organization can achieve.
Yeah, I mean, a great example of that is sometimes having to set the budgets and make decisions about what you're going to do 2 years ahead of time just to, you know, get the processes in place to support that.
Yeah, definitely.
So I know in psychology, we speak of like three forces or waves when we're thinking about the evolution of psychology or the different schools of thought within psychology. We have the psychoanalytic, the behavioral, and then the humanistic. And I know that you and other thought leaders are beginning to really frame the evolution of business in this way too, or beginning to think about it in this way. Can you tell me a little bit about these three waves?
Sure. And this isn't, you know, anything that I developed. I'm kind of adapting it from other thought leaders. But if you think about kind of the first, what I would call the first wave of business transformation, it is that wave that kind of came with the Industrial Revolution, when money making became such a focus and we gave such attention to efficiency and analysis that was needed to drive more and more profitability, more cost per unit, and those types of things. So that, you know, the sole focus in this first wave is really on profit, largely at the expense of other stakeholders and other concerns. And, you know, this is embodied in kind of the typical traditional MBA that teaches us that if we can analyze anything to the greater level of detail, then we can improve it through that analysis. So that kind of is the first wave and really carried us through the transformation of business, I would say, until the last 15 to 20 years when some second wave and then some third wave began to introduce itself into the business transformation.
Okay.
The second wave then is the wave that I call the more responsible wave of business. And this is where profit begins to be balanced by people and planet in what is often called the triple bottom line. So that profit is still really the primary reason that the business is in business. But the business is trying to balance its environmental footprint and be responsible to the planet and take into consideration the future that it's leaving on the planet. It also balances that with a concern for people, meaning employees, workers, customers, even sometimes partners or even competitors in creating some degree of coalition with a competitive group. So that in the second wave, we've taken the profit of first wave and laid on top of that planet and people. So that's the second wave.
Okay.
Then the third wave is really one that's emerging much more recently than kind of the sustainability movement of the second wave. And the third wave adds another P, and that P is purpose. And what we have been emerging is a quadruple bottom line, so that we have planet, profit, people, a triple bottom line, and now this fourth P of purpose. And these are the businesses that are emerging that we may call social enterprises or might be the work of social entrepreneurs. And it's a blending, really, of the nonprofit world and the for-profit world, where these social enterprises are using the profit making of business as a way to solve social problems.
Wow, that's a long way from the first wave.
Right, isn't it?
It sure is.
The exciting part about this third wave is that we really have this unique opportunity in front of us in this third wave if we really unlock the ability to solve some of our biggest challenges through business, then the economy becomes much more self-sustaining in a lot of ways, so that we're employed in work that is doing good, creating a better future. It allows us also as individuals to be much more aligned with the purpose of the organization we work in, mm-hmm. and not feel like we have to leave a part of ourselves at home when we come through the door and work every morning. That we can show up as more fully who we are, bring our personal passions, our own sense of personal purpose to work, and, you know, have the opportunity to perhaps align that with an organization that we choose to make our vocation with.
Yeah, that is a great vision, and I feel it's unfolding too. So that I'm clear, and we can hold this in our minds moving forward in the conversation. The first wave is more traditional capitalist business with a focus on profit. The second right. wave, taking more responsibility, accounting for impact of business on ourselves and our world. And then the third wave is purpose-driven business from the outside, wanting to make that positive social impact or actually even help shift and change the world. Did I get that basically right?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, those are the three waves.
Okay, so you've also found three dimensions of management that correspond to the three waves. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. So hopefully the wording won't confuse our listeners too much today, but you know, these waves are still, in my opinion, largely still all operating on the first dimension of management practices.
Okay.
And what I mean by that is that with this first wave of business, with the Industrial Revolution and with this focus on profits and attention to analysis and budgets and measuring effectiveness and getting as efficient as you can and as much cost savings, that really has framed the way in which we manage organizations for over the last 100 years, where we create budgets. We kind of live under this this premise that if we can measure it, we can manage it. So that we want to measure more and more things, create a target or an accountability, and then set people's compensation review, set their bonuses. The organization is all working toward achieving these numbers. It even includes key performance indicators, so that it's not even just financial stuff, but you may say to a salesperson, I need you to, make contact with 15 new leads this month, and that three of them must convert to an in-person meeting and two of them become an actual sale. So that, people are, have these really rigid goals that they're working towards, and we've pushed ourselves to, we just measure so many things. Unfortunately, as this second and third wave of business that I talked about has begun to emerge, I don't yet see emerging along with it an evolution of the management systems and processes that those organizations use. There's some indications of that, but not a lot yet. Mm-hmm. And so what that does then for that second and third wave that are adding the second, third, and fourth T's, is that they don't really have a playbook or a shift in their management practices to mirror that. So what I see is that in the second wave, where there's more responsibility and attention to planet and people, that we need a second dimension of management that builds on that first dimension that I just described, but that includes things like indications of how responsible the business is operating. So some sustainability reporting, engaging with stakeholders, employee satisfaction, and then other measures that might be qualitative as well as quantitative that indicate how well this business is acting with responsibility, and begin to balance the management practices that are solely focused on profit with ones that equally begin to consider people and planet.
Mm-hmm. And I can see applying these first wave kind of practices to these later waves can create a real conflict of interest as well.
Yes, but the thing is that conflict exists anyway.
Yes.
And when it's not built into the management practices, profit is likely to win because that's the system we're set up with. So that I don't think until we give the second and third wave businesses new management practices, new reporting tools, new organizational structures, that we're fully going to unlock the potential that is emerging in these waves. So the third dimension then is the second dimension isn't complicated enough for second wave businesses. A third wave business, on top of having an equal concern for planet and people, is also trying to deliver on some type of impact-driven purpose that sits alongside its goal of making money. Mm-hmm. So in this third dimension of management for third wave businesses, we really need management systems that help us understand, are we achieving our mission? Are we delivering the purpose that we're in business for? And keep our eye on that as well. It's when you really think about all of that, these third wave businesses are very, very complicated and complex organizations to run.
Wow. It's like, yes, like I can see like flying by the seat of their pants in trying to, you know, move into this sensation and not necessarily having those structures there that have supported business previously.
Yeah. I mean, imagine that you're a social entrepreneur. You have some idea of solving some problem, whether it's a small one in your community or a larger one in the world, and you feel very passionate about it. In fact, you feel like that's why you're alive at this moment, is to do this thing. And you spend all this time planning, you know, the service or the product that's going to do that, and you get ready to go into business. And then suddenly you're running an organization with the same tools that go back to that first wave and that first dimension. And yeah. I think that's frustrating for people who feel so purpose-driven, so living in their heart, and yet they kind of have business as usual when it comes to the management tools and the structures and reporting that they have available to them.
Wow. So well said, Barry. So in our couple of last minutes before a break, can you give us some examples of businesses that, or types of businesses that seem to be riding this third wave?
Sure. And maybe I'll answer that question by talking about some classes of organizations.
Okay.
You know, that second wave where people and planet become an equal measure to profit, you know, there's a movement that I know you're aware of, which is the Certified B Corp. Uh-huh. Which is a nonprofit organization called B Lab that certifies, that has an assessment that any organization can go to their website and take the assessment to see how you score. But for those organizations that score a threshold, they can pay an annual membership and be certified as a B Corp, meaning that they are doing some very good things along this assessment. And this is beginning to have a brand awareness so that people know what a B Corp is, and they know that when they're dealing with that company, if they're doing things a little different, they have an environmental concern, they have a concern for people, and they do business a little differently. So those certified B Corps are really the world of that wave, too.
Mm-hmm.
The third dimension is demonstrated by a new legal structure that's emerging in many states across our country. And that is a benefit corporation. And that's an actual legal structure that in its charter, in its legal documents filed with the Secretary of State in their state, they clarify what their purpose is. And right into that charter, what they're setting out in the world to do, and that is an equal measure or even secondary to profit. So that if that business is sold, the purpose stays with it. When investors come on, they can't force the company to make decisions that are contrary to concerns for people, planet, and purpose. So there's an actual legal structure that protects those organizations.
Wow, that's, yay, that's awesome. All right, it's time for a break. And when we return, we'll continue our conversation with Barry Lipscomb about these really exciting times in the evolution of business. See you in a few.
It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
Domestic violence and abuse are experienced by both men and women in everyday life. If you have experienced abuse, know that you're not alone on your journey. Listen for Abuse Survival Stories presents I Reclaim My Voice with co-hosts Reese Zigazaga and Denise Watkus. We'll speak with survivors who have emerged safe and victorious and who are passionate about helping others reclaim their voices. Tune in every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
Can you think of anybody who does not want a better life and to be a better person? Think about that for a second. Almost everyone wants to be better, but how does one go about doing that? One thing that is making people better every week is tuning in to the Self-Improvement Show with Dr. Irene Conlon. All real change comes from within, but many of us don't know where to find the information or guidance we need to make the changes that bring about the improvement. Most of us don't know how to work within. Listen Thursdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Empowerment.
Are you ready for a health, life, and empowerment show in one? Then be sure to listen every week for Living Well with Ann Beal. Ann takes her long-running TV show to the Internet Talk Radio airwaves with guest experts and insight designed to help you live a healthy and successful life. By hearing from the experts and those who have found success, our goal is that you too will be motivated to do the same. Living Well with Ann Beal can be heard every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 7 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
Listening to The Art of Transformation with Mara Evenstar. If you would like more information about our program or just have a question or comment about today's episode, please send an email to rmi.services@gmail.com. That's ARAMMAI.services@gmail.com. Now, let's continue with The Art of Transformation.
Well, a warm welcome back, everyone. Today, we're talking with visionary thought leader Barry Lipscomb. And before the break, we spoke a bit about the evolutionary path in which we see business unfolding. And now I'd like to turn the conversation to hear some of Barry's thoughts on what's currently influencing him. So over the winter, we had a great conversation on this subject, Barry. And at the time, what was lighting up for you was a book by Frederick Laloux, if I'm saying that right, called Reinventing Organizations, A Guide to Creating Organizations Inspired by the Next Stage of Human Consciousness. Will you speak a little bit about this book and why it has your gears turning?
Sure, Mara. I'd be glad to. In fact, it's hard for me to stop talking about this book. I honestly believe that this may be the most important book I've read, in the last 25 years in my adult life. It's hard to say, but Laloux has done something truly amazing. A little bit about his background. He is, he was a consultant with Accenture in Europe. He's from Belgium. Mm-hmm. And he worked in the organizational development part of that consulting practice and took about a 3-year sabbatical and identified companies around the world that were operating very differently and took the time to study them in great depth. He was in these organizations, met with their CEOs and their employees, had privileged to look at all the processes that they used in their business. And interestingly enough, the way that is typically common when there's an emergent something happening in the world, he found that quite independent of one another, because these companies are in different sectors, they are in different parts of the world, were doing some things very similarly. And I don't want to underplay that comment. I think that the fact that these companies were doing something similar really points to an emergent, something that was emerging into, let's call it, the organizational consciousness. And what Laloux has done in this book is taken his research and described each of these companies in detail. What's fourth in the book is that there's really three principal breakthroughs that are happening in each of these organizations to varying degrees. And the three of them are really a bit progressive. So speaking to the first one is this movement towards self-managing teams. And this is a movement where really the typical pyramid of hierarchy in our organizations is largely gone. They're very flat organizations and small teams of people who really manage themselves and do a lot of even staff functions within their group. So they perform finance functions. They determine what they need to spend. They make hiring, firing decisions, many things like that. And, you know, listeners might be thinking, oh, that's great if there's like maybe 30 people in an organization. No, some of these organizations have tens of thousands of people, and they're operating in a really flat organizational structure. And these organizations are outperforming their industry sector peers. This is not, you know, these are the successful companies that we looked at. So self-managing teams, the first principal breakthrough that he identified.
Okay.
So that's really an organizational structure thing, right?
Right.
The second thing that he noticed is an idea that he calls wholeness. And what he means by this is something we've chatted in the first segment a little bit about, is that in these organizations, employees are not only allowed, but they're encouraged to show up fully as who they are at work and bring that into their workplace. Now, some of this looks like you know, the ability to decorate your own space, or more joyful workspaces, or workspaces where pets and babies are allowed. You know, that's kind of some of the introductory stuff. But even deeper, these organizations can take that wholeness to a whole different level, so that perhaps even in the annual review process, it's an opportunity to go on a learning journey as an individual and to evaluate where you might have learning opportunities, and to even have the organization support you in uncovering what you believe your purpose is and how you can express that at work. So this, you know, encouragement to be whole. No more of the shutting a part of yourself off when you come in the front door. In fact, it's all celebrated, welcomed, and what these organizations are finding is that by doing that, they're finding deeper, more valuable gifts, skills, and talents in their workforce than you even have visibility to when you look at a resume and try to put someone into a little box and just give them a task to do.
Right, and asking them to leave some of the key pieces of themselves at the door. You know, we're finding it just absolutely does not work.
Yeah. Then the third principal breakthrough that that he identified is probably for most people in business the biggest stretch. I don't think it will be as big a stretch for your listeners who are already tuning in to practice the art of transformation. But that is the idea that these organizations are actually conscious living entities. And that as a conscious entity, they have a life purpose. And that that is even an evolutionary purpose. It evolves over time. Just like I have, you know, have a sense of purpose, and you have a sense of purpose, Mara, and that we follow kind of those guides, those whisperings, those, you know, things that light up for us. And that journey puts us in situations, it presents opportunities, and that our purpose begins to actualize by just listening. The same thing is seen in these organizations, that their vision or mission is, it can be a very aspirational mission that then creates the opportunity for that to evolve. But rather than that being like an annual strategy session and we decide what we're going to do and what month we're going to do it in, it becomes a sensing journey for the organization. And these organizations create even listening and sensing capabilities in their organization in order to sense when a new opportunity is emerging and what to do with that. And, you know, that's really contrary to the way that those first wave businesses operate with the first dimension of management. You know, any degree of conflict, it's how fast can we quiet this down? How
right.
fast can we move on to what's next? Whereas many of these organizations in the Lewis book actually have, they celebrate what they call tensions. And they want to get to the bottom of what's underneath an organizational tension. Because in all likelihood, it is some whispering of an emergent strategy, something that can be improved, something that can be done differently. And that's part of this evolutionary purpose that these organizations have when they're, you know, when those people in the organization recognize them as a living, conscious entity. And, you know, this concept for me really, you know, you and I spoke about this many times in the last several years, so the idea
yes.
of an organization having its own consciousness and its own purpose. And I was so delighted to see that as a part of Lewis's research.
Yeah, that's really exciting to see that out there a little bit more mainstream, because when I was thinking about this even as a research topic for my master's about the organization actually having its own consciousness, there was very little out there in the literature at all, and certainly nothing in the popular business literature.
Right.
Yeah. So that's a great segue, though, into can you give us some examples of practices from these breakthrough organizations that you learned about?
Sure. And this may be some of the most value that Lewis's book brings to organizations, is that he didn't write a theoretical book. He didn't stop with those three breakthroughs. He went deep in these organizations and looked at strategy, human resources, marketing, the sales team, the finance team, operations, in great detail, and uncovered the practices that are actually happening in these organizations. And kindly enough, he summarized them all in a wonderful table in the appendix of the book. So for the listeners who are already trying to buy this book online or are ready mm-hmm. to run out and read it, there's great wealth of information in there. You know, as a finance person who has managed the finances of businesses in the past, an idea that really appealed to me is that most of these organizations have what they call radically simplified budgets and minimal strategic planning. And again, that's going to feel very counter to anyone operating in the first wave of business. But the reason that these organizations don't put very detailed and rigid budgets in place and don't spend a lot of time on strategic planning is because of that idea of evolutionary purpose. You know, what happens if we put a detailed budget in place and we commit to a strategic plan, a detailed plan, we tend to not listen as well to what's emerging because we've already decided what the future looks like.
Right.
And our task has become, let's make this plan happen rather than let's listen and unfold every day. So this is a key piece of kind of downplaying the world of predicting control and playing up the sense and response that we spoke to earlier. That's a big idea.
That's a big shift.
Yes, really is. Another piece that's really integral to this approach is in creating these self-managing teams with distributed decision-making. Again, you think, oh my gosh, it's going to be anarchy. People are going to be mm-hmm. spinning whatever they want. People are going to be running in thousands of different directions. What these organizations have put in place is something that one of them calls the advice process. And what that means is that any person can make any decision in so long as they have sought the advice and counsel of those who have the appropriate experience. So if you are on a factory floor and you are part of a team that does this task and you believe that purchasing a new machine will make you more efficient and cause to save money and to produce a better product, you may have, you know, the authority to go and buy that machine as long as you have sought some feedback from the people that are going to use the machine. Do people agree with you? Do they also find that this machine would be helpful? You sought the advice of perhaps engineers. Is this machine going to work? Is it going to do what it needs to do? Is it going to work with the other machinery? You might have sought the counsel of someone in the organization who can calculate an ROI for you. You know, how much is this going to cost? How much does it save? When do we make our money back? That you're really empowering people to internalize a lot of those tasks that get very siloed in an organization currently.
Yeah, and you allow people at all levels to be like, so if this were my business, which it is, if this were my business, would I make this decision, right? And get the advice from others for that.
There's another set of practices that all fit within kind of the human resource area, and I find them really fascinating. And I'll speak to them together because they really fit together. One is the idea that instead of having defined job responsibilities and job descriptions, that instead the organization has created more fluid roles, responsibilities with accountabilities, and that those are fluid, that I might choose and have the open capacity to take on a role for a certain period of time, but then someone else might do it. So that it's a much more fluid organization, and it allows a real customization of the work being done to the skills of the workforce at any given time, rather than saying, this person must do these 10 things. Along with that is that the review process is typically some type of a peer review among the self-managing team. So the accountability is all within the team. If one person isn't pulling their weight, the other team members are probably going to be, you know, there encouraging, trying to figure out how they might support the person, figuring out if it's a bad fit. You know, that's all within the self-managing team that's doing that work. And then the third piece around the human resources that is, again, probably going to be one of the scariest pieces for some people is that these organizations have open salaries. Everyone knows what everyone makes. In fact, you usually can go online and just see that. And beyond that, usually you set your own salary using that advice process that I mentioned earlier. So you've got to seek the counsel of your your, you know, members in your self-managing team. You can still make whichever decision that you want. But I can imagine if I decide I'm worth more than anyone else thinks I am, the next time my review comes around, I'm probably going to really hear whether I lived up to that number I gave myself.
Well, this actually is very revolutionary. And this idea of open salaries, I know, has been around and is being tried out in different organizations. But when I see these all pulled together in this book and hear the organizations are pulling these things together, it's incredibly exciting. I think that, and it also says that these are organizations where from the top, you know, even though they're not hierarchical, right, where the owners and everyone that works and everyone is coming together, they have to be really bought into this way of doing business. Or of trying,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Usually when these organizations make the decision to go down this path, there's some type of formal feeding of the CEO's authority that happens across the organization, because otherwise people are going to continue to defer to that hierarchy. So that it's usually something pretty formal that there's a feeding of that authority.
Yes, great. Okay, well, I could go on and on. It's time for another break. And when we come back, Barry and I will talk about the role of innovation and play in these kinds of new organizations. And we'll hear a little bit about what Barry has in the development cooker. So we'll be right back with The Art of Transformation on Voice America Empowerment Channel.
Build your better business. Achieve that goal. Make good on that resolution. The Voice America Empowerment Channel. It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed.
When you think of inspiring women, who comes to mind? Is it a visionary like Oprah Winfrey? Political or legal figures like Hillary Clinton or Sonia Sotomayor? Or how about entrepreneurial business leaders like Meg Whitman? No matter whom you might be thinking of, make sure to add one more to that list. Deanne DeMarco. She's the host of Today's Inspiring Women. Each week, Deanne turns you on to the next rising star in business and leadership and what their successes and challenges have been. Listen every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, on Voice America Empowerment.
Now on Voice America.
The road you travel in life is never a straight line. It's more like running around in circles, which is not a problem when you make Richard Flint a part of your world. When you're standing next to Richard, you begin to see a lot less confusion and a whole lot more clarity. Things just start falling into place.
Every Thursday, 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
The power to be with Richard Flint.
Join us, and more power to you.
The Dr. Diva Show is on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. It's time for a compelling discussion about the issues that matter most to women and an inside scoop for the men who love them. Topics include entrepreneurship, relationships, work, and home life. Join Dr. Sony, Dr. Rhonda, and Dr. Pamela every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time for the Dr. Diva Show on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. Your relationships, your career, your peace of mind.
Follow us on Twitter for more great ideas at Voice America Empowerment.
You are listening to The Art of Transformation with Mara Evenstar. If you would like more information about our program or just have a question or comment about today's episode, please send an email to rmi.services@gmail.com. That's ARAMMAI.services@gmail.com. Now, let's continue with The Art of Transformation.
So hello again. Today, Barry Lipscomb and I are talking about the transforming landscape of business. And Barry, I really think this evolutionary direction of business and organizations is really exciting, much needed. I think if we're going to shift things in our world, business and organizations are actually a great sector to lead with and lead in that change. But let's talk about the role of innovation and play in this evolving consciousness of business that we're talking about.
Yeah, you know, Mara, I think you're right in that innovation and play are really essential in evolving and transforming the consciousness of business. You know, I talked about needing new management tools, leadership skills, and organizational structures that fully enable this full capacity of what business is actually evolving into. Tools, skills, and structures that unlock the potential of what's emerging. You know, this is a place where we have the opportunity to participate in what's evolving. And, kind of key to an emergent process is that we can't possibly be smart enough to know what's coming and to develop all that's needed with the limited knowledge we have today in this moment.
Right.
And to do that, we actually have to engage with this emerging future in some way, this emergent possibility. And, it's not about anticipating what's coming up. That's a totally different, tool or skill. Mm-hmm. But actually tapping into the creative potential of what can be. What's coming into being. And, this attempting to anticipate it is really just another way of trying to think our way into it.
Sure.
I'm talking instead about sensing and feeling our way into that. Sensing and feeling.
Yes.
And here is where I believe play is really the most effective way to bypass the thinking mind and to tap into that wisdom beyond our thinking mind.
Absolutely. I when we look at the first wave businesses, business is so serious, right? And
right.
Play itself is not seen as a tool. it's seen as unproductive or goofing off, or even sitting quietly to try to tune into what's emerging is seen as unproductive, right? So you know, these are actually radical things to be bringing into, you know, into the operations of business, into the planning and thinking. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, that in particular, uncovering strategy is a place where play can be a really interesting role that can, you know, be various drawing exercises, you know, free drawing for 10 minutes, and then, you know, have someone else explain your drawing to you and see what they think. Every time I do exercises like that, there's something emerges, right? You know, some interesting ones are also like collective drawing, where one person makes a mark and then the net passes the pen to the next person, and you go through the circle and you don't know where the drawing is going, right? You just begin drawing that. You could start with an initial objective, like let's draw a template of our workplace and see where it goes. But someone making one mark is going to influence the next mark. And the real value of these exercises comes in the debriefing and the discussion once you set the pen down. What does this mean to you? What do you see? What are you discovering? And what is that informing about what this business could be? And I know you probably have other play activities that you might use as well, that, you know, that get beyond, you know, that get us out of this thinking mind and into our sensing mode.
Yeah, absolutely. And we use drawing a lot as well to do our strategic work, and meditation, focalizing, which is something that you actually excel in and are doing out in the world, which is actually tuning into and having a dialogue with the consciousness of that business. Having a direct conversation and figuring out, you know, what that is. And I think that this way of play and allowing for innovation, you know, there's a lot of trust that's required with one another and this feeling of safety, right? And so within these new organizations, I can see how creating a realm in which it's safe to try out things that may not work, or safe to just play, or safe to just think, can be really helpful. Yeah.
Yeah, some things are really important that you've got full permission to do that, that you give yourself permission to be vulnerable, and that, you know, everyone else participating in the activity respects that it is a vulnerable space to be in when we allow our inner wisdom to come out in some way. And, you know, sometimes that, you know, may not be as comfortable as other times. And it's, you know, this is a vulnerable space to step into. But it points to how, as organizations evolve in this direction and we put in place the management tools, the organizational structures, the processes to support it, we're supporting one another individually in a journey of transformation. We're really accelerating transformation for everyone. It's almost like, you know, the individual is transforming within the organization that's transforming. And because that organization is purpose-driven, it's transforming the world around us, right? There's these, you know, inner circles ever expanding of greater transformation. All of it informed by each level back to the other, right?
Right. It's a beautiful ripple effect, but as you say, it is one that is kind of symbiotic. It you know, moves back and forth, and each change and transformation informs the next.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
That invitation to show up whole at work. Think what that does for people that have been shutting a part of themselves off for their entire life, right?
Yes, yeah. It's amazing. I heard a statistic, can't tell you where, so I can't tell you if it's right, but that, you know, that 52% of people in America hate their jobs.
Yeah.
And, you know, and if that's anywhere near accurate, you know, this is the way to shift that. This is the way to open this up for everyone. Because if that statistic is real, it's a very, very sad, very sad state of affairs.
Yeah.
So we have, though, been seeing some shift in business, and now concepts like conscious business, social responsible enterprises, this triple bottom line, and now you say quadruple bottom line, they're becoming more widely known. And many organizations, I don't know about many, but some organizations are attempting to put them into practice. Can you talk a little bit about the role of accounting, since I know you have a finance background, what's changing, what's not, and what is needed?
This is a place where, you know, kind of the rubber hits the road for me in this whole, you know, topic, is that how do we transform in the context that I talked about, the management systems, the organizational structures, how do we transform these accounting systems that have been forcing us into particular leadership behaviors, the use of rigid budgets, the use of performance measures and the things that shut down the ability to sense and respond. How do we shift the accounting of an organization out of that first dimension to include the tools that are needed in the second dimension around responsibility and the third dimension around purpose? What I envision, and it's truly a vision at this point, is a management dashboard that will naturally include the financial metrics of an organization because, you know, as long as we continue to exchange currency, money, you know, has a value. We need to understand how we're making money. And some degree of operational performance indicators. So, you know, whether it's, you know, customer retention or if the number of orders filled or calls taken, those types of things that just tell us, you know, how efficiently are we doing our business? But on top of that, some measures around how responsibly we're acting. And I think we can borrow from that B Corp assessment that I mentioned earlier, the various things that are measured there, incorporate those into a dashboard. And also then for the third dimension, how successfully are we delivering on our impact, on our mission, on our purpose? And set this up in such a way that it highlights when something is underperforming so that very quickly an organization can, from moment to moment, know, okay, the money-making side is working fine. It doesn't need my attention. But I'm having an issue with the you know, the metric I want to measure in terms of the success I'm having in the world. So I need to go and spend attention there. I think it helps get through the noise and see where, you know, management, leadership, whether it's just, you know, a new organization and it's a self-managing team, where to put attention and what needs focus at any given time.
And what do you think, Barry, was your biggest influencer? So what moved you to be looking at this shift in business?
So my own experience before any of these thoughts began to come to me, and I read began to do any reading in this realm, just my own experience of frustration in the inadequacy of the corporate organization to fully embrace who we are as whole people. You know, I saw situations where even though there were rigid job descriptions, things were kind of naturally becoming more fluid. People kind of fell into roles. Then if that person leaves the organization, it's very hard to fill them because they've taken on responsibilities that were never in their job description because they were skills, interests, passions that they had.
So your own personal experience and frustration is what really, really brought you into this work, right? And I'm assuming that this is the case for the others who are also moving into this.
Yeah, I think that the seeing what doesn't work and recognizing that and then having a curiosity to explore is what I think has created much of the work that's been done to date. I think it's certainly what Lalu found in his organizations is generally a CEO who may have had their own personal transformation and wanted to bring a piece of that into work and began to encourage, explore, and experiment. and found things that worked. And then over time, those really became the operating system that the organizations use.
Yeah. Well, this has been fabulous, Barry. Thank you so much for coming on the show. To my listeners, if you're interested in learning more about Barry's thoughts on transforming business, you can connect with him on LinkedIn. His last name is spelled Lipscomb, LipsComb, or you can visit his writings at businessfocalizing.com. That's businessfocalizing, FOCALIZING.com. And so this is Mara Evenstar. I thank you for joining me on The Art of Transformation. You can sign up for my organization's monthly newsletter at newmythworks.com, or you can contact me personally and visit my website at aramai.com. That's aramai.com. And I would love to help you be the artist of your own transformation. And if you're interested in help in transforming your organization, you can contact me with that as well. I work with colleague Sandra Finkel, who you met a few shows again. We have a consulting organization called Serious Sense. So I look forward to practicing the art of transformation with you on Wednesdays, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, here on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. So thanks so much, Barry.
My pleasure. It was good to be with you.
All right. Until next time, everyone.
Thank you for joining us for The Art of Transformation. Please tune in for another edition with Mara Evenstar next Wednesday at 12 noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. We'll talk again next week.